Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place with your host, Prophetess Valerie Burwell and Prophet Rodney Feeney. Excited about sharing with you another episode of Fire and Desire.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank Sister Martha for being on the air with us, on the line with us this evening. Amen. Early. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Prophet, why don't you pray, and then we can go into the words that the Lord has given for tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Father, we just bless you again tonight. We're so excited, God, about your grace and your goodness and your faithfulness, God. We call you Redeemer. We call you Deliverer. We call you Healer. Jesus, we know you as the King of Glory, the Lord God, strong and mighty. God, we thank you, God, for this platform, God, and these airways tonight, God, through which we can release the sound, God, that you've given us, God, and put within our bellies. God, even tonight, God, as we open up our mouths and speak into the hearts and the minds of your people, thank you for transformation. Thank you for renewal, God. Thank you, God, for God just making the word of God sound simple and plain, God, and come forth with power and clarity, Father God, so people will grasp and comprehend what you are saying and declaring, even in this hour. We bless you, God, for the anointing of grace. We thank you, God, for just allowing us to flow in that which you have given us, God. And we bless you, God, for the end result of transformed lives, renewed minds, and people moving forward, God, in the purpose of God for their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so Prophet Val, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about provision. And I think we've covered a little bit of a territory because, you know, these are things that you can talk about forever. And even as much as we believe that we know, certainly God is unfathomable, and so we can never really tap into all that there is. So tonight, we're going to kind of continue talking about provision, but I really want to focus tonight on the will of God. I want to kind of deal with something on a basic level tonight that I believe will help and empower the people of God to get to a place of understanding what is it really that God is requiring of me.
Amen.
Amen. That is a relevant question that you can ask at any interval or stage of your life. What is God really after? What does God really require of me? Amen.
Uh-huh.
I've learned, Prophetess Valerie, that I can simplify my life by that question. Regardless of where I am and what I'm facing in life, be it trials, adversity, or challenges, whatever the case might be, it is good for me to ask that question. What is God after? What is God after? And I can simplify my life by living my life based on that one question. Because if I can give God what he wants, I will live under an open heaven.
Yes.
That's a simple way to approach life. Find out what God wants. Find out what he's after and give it to him, and your life will become simple. Amen?
Amen.
It'll simplify your whole life. It will place you in a place of living in harmony with the plan and the purpose of God for your life, and there's all sorts of promises that come along with that. Amen? I found that most of our struggles in life are, in fact, a result of us not being in agreement with the plan and the purpose of God.
Yes.
Somehow, some way, and in some way, we are just not lined up with what God is really after. Mm-hmm. And he's really after his divine purpose, of course. He's after his original intent. That's the whole thing about God. So if I can find out what he wants, even tonight, as we have the listening audience listening in, you know, if you can just, in what you're going through and what you're facing even right now, if you can just, discover what does the Father want from me in this situation? What is he after? And you find that one thing out and give it to him, circumstance will change, and you can move forward in a place of peace and joy and provision. Amen?
Yes. Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Find out what he wants and give it to him. That's a simple way to approach life. Find out what God is after. Find out what he wants and give it to him. Now, that sounds simple, but, you know, when we really get down to it, that's not what we're always doing. And this is the reason why we have adversity. This is the reason why there are contrary winds. This is the reason why we have challenges and struggles, because God is allowing these things in an attempt to get us to line up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
You're saying that, and in the back of my mind, because I was listening to some conversations today and even on my drive home, when people were beginning to talk about relationships and the fact that this is February and Valentine's Day and so many marriages and so much love and da-da-da and on and on and on and on. And I'm not discounting any of it, although it's wonderful. But when you talk about understanding the will and understanding the purpose, you have to look at this in every aspect of your life, because sometimes we have allowed ourselves to get into relationships that were not God's will.
Amen.
And so by doing that, when you begin to face the contrary winds and you begin to have the struggles and you're beginning to face some indecision and you're having some moments and all of these things are happening, what generally takes place is we become emotional and begin to react to our emotions instead of stepping back and saying, okay, God, this is the situation I'm in now. The reason I got in this situation is this. I have to confess that I didn't seek you. I didn't ask your permission. I didn't really ask for any guidance whatsoever, but I operated in what I felt like I want.
Amen.
Now, God, I'm in trouble. What is your will for me?
Amen.
And I think that, you know, as we talk about this and understanding God's divine purpose for us as individuals, even in finding that as an individual, by finding who we are as individuals and operating in that will allow us to then find another or allow God to let us find or be found so that we can both pursue what it is God has for us
exactly.
as one.
Amen.
And when that doesn't happen, yeah, you talked about it. Then some things start happening. You start feeling some kind of way. And the human side of us is just like, you know what, I'm done. We're quick to flee.
Amen.
Instead of really saying, okay, God, what do you want? What do you want from this? Because sometimes, you make that choice, and he'll teach you a lesson, and it can work out for your good if you're able to endure.
Amen. Prophet Valerie, the greatest enemy to the plan of God is the will of man.
Yes, it is.
It's the greatest enemy.
Yes, it is.
And let me even state it another way. The greatest enemy to the plan of God for my life and your life and in any individual's life is their own will, my own will.
Yes, it is.
Amen. My own will is subject to be influenced by different spirits.
Yes.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But that's the greatest enemy to the plan of God for my life. The greatest enemy to what God wants to accomplish in and through my life is my own will. It's not the devil.
No, it's not.
It's not the devil.
No,
now, my own will is subject to be influenced by the demonic spirit or the satanic spirit.
Yeah.
It's subject to be influenced by it. But primarily, the greatest enemy to what God wants to do through me and for me is, in fact, my own will. Amen?
I tell people all the time, your enemy is your inner me.
Amen. Exactly. Exactly. That's a great way of putting it. Amen. Amen. So what I want to do is let's take some basic approach to this and let's give some definitions and kind of expound on what is the will of God. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5,
mm-hmm.
and we'll look at verses 15 through 17.
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise,
mm-hmm.
redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So he's emphasizing the fact that, you know, we need to understand what his will is, okay? He talks about walking circumspectly.
Mm-hmm.
That word circumspectly speaks to precision.
Yes.
And, you know, I like to tell folk, I like to challenge folk, I say, now, let's strive to operate at the extra level of the will of God for our lives. Amen?
Amen?
Let's strive to get to be an expert. Let's strive to master the will of God for our lives, not somebody else's life now. That's some people's problem. They're dibbling and dabbling in other people's life. There's no excuse that you would think that you know more about the will of God for someone else's life than you do for your own. There's absolutely no excuse for that.
Say that one more time.
There's absolutely no excuse that you would even think that you know more about the will of God for someone else's life than you do for your own.
Amen.
Amen. There's absolutely no excuse for that. That's ludicrous. Amen. That you can speak about the will of God for someone else's life for an hour, and if I ask you what the will of God is for your life, the conversation is only 1 minute. There's absolutely no excuse for that.
Okay, but Prophet, and I like that. But think about then to how people are under leadership who think that they have all the answers for everybody that's there and they cannot hear or they're always wrong about what pertains to their lives. Help some leaders to understand.
Amen. I heard a bishop make a statement some years ago, and it stuck with me. And he said this in regards to one of his spiritual sons, one of the pastors that was under him.
Mm-hmm.
He made this statement. He said, God used me, but he didn't need me.
Amen.
God used me, but he didn't need me. And what we have got to understand is there's going to be a balance, all right? We got to be able to hear God directly and indirectly.
Amen.
But the voice that has the greatest influence on our lives has to be the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
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 It has to be the voice of the Lord. There can be no other voice that's going to have a greater impact, a greater influence on our lives other than the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
And we've got to develop. We've got to grow and mature as Christians and as sons of God to the point that we are hearing the voice of God. We can recognize and discern the voice of God. And then, you know, we know how to balance it out with the leadership that God might be using in our life or with, you know, other people that God may have connected us with. We can use these folk as a sounding board. We can use these folk to even bring confirmation and things like that. But the bottom line is I have come to this conclusion in my life. I am going to live my life based on what I believe I am hearing from God. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to discount what anybody else says.
Right.
But the bottom line is going to be, it's going to be my decision.
That's right.
I've finished living life based on the expectations of men.
Amen.
I'm finished with that.
Amen.
Amen. I'm through with that. I'm through living life based on the expectations of men. And so the bottom line is going to be, I am going to live my life based on what I believe I am hearing from God. Now, I am going to take in consideration. I'm going to consider. I'm going to hear what others are saying. Certainly, I'm not going to discount or reject it blatantly. Amen. But the bottom line, the decision will be mine.
Amen.
I'm going to live or die based on my own choices.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's important that you say that. Live or
that's
die.
That's important.
Yeah.
I'm going to live or die. I'm going to live or die based on my own choices, and my choices to the best of my ability are going to be based on what I believe in God saying. Now, we have to keep in mind that some choices are not a directive from God.
Amen.
In other words, God gives you the liberty and the freedom.
Yes.
To make certain choices. Now, he wants you to make choices that are going to fit within the framework of his plan. But some folk don't understand this, and so they will allow people to make choices for them.
Yes.
Or they will buy into the fact that they can't make certain choices because God doesn't want them to have or do certain things.
Wow.
Well, if that fits within the framework of God, and you haven't heard God say you know, nay or yay, some choices are not a directive from God. In other words, he gives you the liberty and the freedom to make choices within the framework of his plan.
Yeah.
Some folks wait for God to tell them to do certain things, and that is not something that God is going to give you as a directive.
Yeah,
it's a choice he would give you the liberty to make.
And we had talked about that. It's some things that are required, there should be things that you already know.
Exactly.
You shouldn't have to wait for a direct answer from God, is it okay if I do this or not? And then you
exactly.
Sit there waiting, 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 waiting. You should already know that.
Based on your knowledge and understanding of the plan of God for your life, what you believe God wants to do in and through your life, you can make choices that sit within that. God will give you the liberty to do that.
Yeah.
Amen? There's one place when the Apostle Paul is writing and speaking. And he says this. He says, now, what I'm getting ready to say, God didn't tell me directly. And he's speaking about relationships. He's speaking about marriage. He said, now, God didn't directly tell me this, but how is it that it made it in the Holy Writ?
Come on.
God gave him the liberty and the freedom to say it, and God recorded it. And that's proof right there that God will give us the liberty and the freedom to make certain choices based on the plan of God for our lives. Now, this is the second part that I want to add to that since we're going down this road. Leaders. This is something that I learned. Leaders and anybody in any form or stage or whatever of leadership, we have got to learn how to accept the choices that people make. I don't have to agree with your choices.
Amen.
But I've got to learn how to accept them.
Amen.
And so many leaders, pastors especially, have not matured to this place of accepting the choices that people make when they don't agree with the choice.
Mm.
Amen? And what happens is a relationship gets severed.
Yeah.
The relationship is more important to me than anything.
Amen.
The relationship should be more important than the affiliation with a certain church.
Amen. Amen.
Any type of affiliation that we might share, the relationship should be more important. In other words, the most important thing to me is that I would maintain a relationship with you. Whether or not you decide to leave the church or not is irrelevant when it comes to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Because now, if you disconnect from me, and I'm no longer your friend because I felt led, and I felt that the word of God was transitioning me to another house. So now you're no longer friends with me. I question our friendship to start with.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
That right there should have no bearing on our relationship.
Amen.
And I've had enough now of us being in church and standing beside people that we're lifting our hands up beside, and lifting our hands up before God, beside all these people saying hallelujah and praise the Lord, and there's absolutely no relationship with
None.
The person I'm standing next to.
None whatsoever.
That was never God's intent for an assembly or the church. It was never his intent. This is why he says, how can you say you love me when you don't love your brother?
Yeah.
You know, if the horizontal is not working, the vertical is going to have issues.
Will not.
Exactly.
And
so we've got to learn.
Prophet, is that... You know, it's not working, but you're not even attempting to try to make it work. That one is
exactly.
Standing beside you. You don't even make that attempt.
Exactly.
So God is watching, and other people are watching, and you say you are who you are in Christ and all of this, and they're watching you stand beside somebody week after week, and you refuse to speak. You can't embrace. You have no conversation with whatsoever. But
that,
then you want to tell somebody, you want to go and prophesy to them and tell them what they need to do.
Wow. Amen.
How
no relationship.
None.
No relationship. It's never God's intent to have a group of people coming together once or twice a week and never develop a relationship. The Bible in Acts talks about how they had all things in common. That speaks to relationship.
Yes.
I'm not going to share my stuff with you if I don't have a relationship with you.
Amen.
You're
going to share your stuff with me, Prophet.
Amen. You know, that we have to learn how to esteem relationships again.
Amen.
We have to get back to the basics when we get back to the original intent of God for us even gathering together and congregating together and understand that ultimately God is after a relationship.
He is.
God's ultimate plan for salvation was all about relationship. His relationship with mankind had been broken.
Yes.
And so he goes to the full extent of sending his only begotten son. Why? To restore relationship.
Yes.
You know, I try my best to specialize in relationship. Through the years that I pastored, Pastor Valerie, Prophetess Valerie, I've seen a lot of people come and go.
Amen.
But I've done my best to maintain relationships with the people that have come and with the people that have gone.
Yes.
I've done my best to do that. And I've done my best to let them know, you know, in so many words, and I don't even express my feelings as far as the choices that they're making.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And this is another thing. I've got to have the freedom and the liberty to make choices on my own.
Amen.
Because I'm never going to grow. I'm never going to develop into the dimension of faith and the level of faith and all these things if you don't give me some freedom to even make a mistake, that's going to be for my good. That's going to be for my growing. Please give me the freedom. You know, and please, let me feel as though, please make me feel as though if I miss it, that you're still going to be my friend.
Come on.
please make me feel that way. I want you to, you have liberty and freedom to make some choices on your own now. And there's no guarantee that I'm not going to mess up or make the wrong choice.
Right.
But please make me feel as though you're still going to be my friend.
Amen.
Because what happens in so many instances, Prophet Valerie, is if I make a move that I felt was the will of God and it turns out not to be the will of God, you disconnected from me and talked about me and demeaned me and all these sorts of things on my way out the door. So you're the last person I'm going to come back to.
Yes.
Even if that was meant to be, that was the place I was meant to be. You've kind of messed up the will of God for my life at this stage. It's going to take me some time to recover because of how you treated me.
Yes.
And I simply needed the liberty and the freedom to make some choices on my own. I needed the liberty and the freedom to make some choices that you weren't, you weren't domineering over the choices that I was making.
Yeah, it wasn't your choice you made for me, through me. It was mine.
Exactly. We all need the liberty. Your children at a stage in life need the liberty and the freedom to make choices on their own.
Yes.
It's going to be for their good.
Yeah. I had a conversation, I think last night or this morning, that, I can see clearly, and I can suggest to you that this may not be, but it's ultimately your choice. And then, like you said, we're going to live or die based on the choices we make.
Exactly.
They're ours.
Exactly.
So we have to.
Exactly.
We have to take it.
Exactly. I mean, we who are leaders and involved in people's lives, we have to give people the freedom and the liberty to make those choices. And with the understanding, baby girl, you know what? I'm going to be here for you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to support you as best I can. I don't agree with the choice, but I don't know everything that God has planned for your life.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert on the will of God for your life.
Yeah.
I have prophetic all of my life, but there's some things God might not reveal to me.
Amen.
There may be some things about your life that God might keep hidden from me.
Yeah.
And so we got to stop acting like we're experts in the will of God, for the lives of the people that we're leading.
Amen.
You're not an expert on anybody's life. You need to strive to be an expert on the will of God for our own life. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So here's some points and some statements that help us really expound on what is the will of God. The will of God is what God requires of us. It is our involvement in the plan of God. There's three components here that we have to address. There's a component that we refer to as the will of God. Then there's a component that we refer to as the plan of God. Then there is the divine purpose of God. A lot of times we interchange these terms and we mix them all up together and act as though they're all one, but they're really not.
Amen.
There's the will of God, there's the plan of God, and then there is the divine purpose of God. The will of God is what God requires of me. It is my involvement in the plan of God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
A lot rides on our ability to resolve the will of God.
Yeah.
And like the Ephesians said, we got to understand the will of God. We got to understand what the Father wants, needs, and requires of us. Now, this next one is important. We have to be able to distinguish the will of God from the expectations of men.
Yes.
We have to be able to do that. We have to be able to distinguish the will of God from the expectations of men. We're going to get back to talking about that in a little bit, but let me give you some more points here. The will of God is a corresponding act or action that coincides with a move of God. Again, the will of God is a corresponding action. It's an action that corresponds with the movement of God. Amen?
Amen.
The will of God contributes to the plan of God, having the effect of initiating or activating something in the plan of God. Again, the will of God contributes to the plan of God, having the effect of initiating or activating something within the plan of God. This is why it's dangerous to be in a state of waiting because nothing just happens.
Yeah.
If you're not making a contribution to the plan of God, then you cause the plan of God to be in a stalemate situation.
Yes. Yes.
Your involvement in the plan of God is going to cause the plan of God to evolve.
To move.
Amen.
Amen.
So the will of God is the trigger for the plan of God.
Amen. Amen.
And again, the will of God is what God wants me to do. It's what he requires of me. All right? As the plan of God evolves, opportunity is created for God to do what he has planned to do. So the will of God is what's required of me in order to create an opportunity for God.
Amen.
To fulfill his plan and purpose through me.
Amen.
So when I'm active in the will of God, I'm actually creating an opportunity for God.
Yes.
To do what he has said he wants to do and what he has planned to do.
Amen.
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 Now, there will be conflict between my will
and his
and the will of God. we see this in Matthew 26. Jesus has conflict. He says, not my will, but thy will be done. But prior to that, you see the conflict.
Yeah.
He's wrestling in prayer. He's resolving the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He's resolving that because, he says the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is he's wrestling with the will of the Father. He's going through the process of resolving it. He's going to prove. In that Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus proves that the steps he's about to take is, in fact, what is required of him.
My.
He proves it. Amen?
Yes.
And this is what we mean when we use this term, the will of God must be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
You have to resolve it. Mm-hmm. All right? Resolving the will of God means you go through a process of resolution in which you prove the steps you need to take in order to fulfill the will of God. Now, a lot of people talk about finding the will of God. But the Bible doesn't talk about finding the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
It does not.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God is something that you prove. It's not something that you find.
Amen.
It's something that you prove. Proving speaks to going through a process.
Yes.
Jesus went through a process. He proved that he was going to have to go through and be crucified. He proved that in the Garden of Gethsemane by means of his prayer and his fellowship with the Father.
Wow.
Amen?
Amen.
So resolving the will of God means you go through a process of resolution in which you prove the steps you need to take in order to fulfill the will of God. Now, let's jump back for just a second, Prophetess Valerie. Let's talk about the need to distinguish the will of God from the expectations of men.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at Matthew 16 for that. Matthew 16, this is important because a lot of people will believe that they know the will of God for your life, or they will disagree with the will of God for your life,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or they will challenge the will of God for your life,
yeah.
or something God is requiring of you, they will tell you that that's not required.
Ooh.
You have to beware of the expectations of men.
Yes.
Some people will expect things of you that is not the will of God for you. They will make demands on you and pressure you, all right, to do things and to give up things. Oh, boy. That is not the will of God. There's people that are listening to this message, and somebody is telling you that you can't have something.
Come on.
But that's the expectations of man. And you will live your life believing that God doesn't want you to have this, but it's your choice to have it.
Mm.
It's your choice to have it. You got to understand what type of sacrifices is required. Because some people will come at you now as if you need to sacrifice something. And that's a sacrifice that's not required. Jesus understood. When we look at this now, Matthew 16 is going to be clear. We're going to start reading, Prophetess, at verse 21.
Amen.
Matthew 16, verse 21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Jesus understood These were the sacrifices that were required of him. This is stuff I got to do. Even though it's going to be taxing, even going to be challenging and things like that, these are sacrifices. These are things I got to give up.
Yeah.
These are things I got to let go. There's people that are telling folk to give up stuff, and it's not required by God.
Amen. Amen.
You've got to know the type of sacrifices that's required of you. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if we read on verse 22, it says, "Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Forbid from you, Lord, this should not happen to you.'" You ain't got to go through this.
Hmm.
No. He's challenging the will of the Father.
Yes.
But verse 23 now says, "But he turned and said to Peter," Jesus turned and said to Peter, "'Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" So this challenge has been inspired by the enemy. And so you have to be careful, because the expectations of men are sometimes influenced by a different spirit that's not the spirit of God.
Amen. Amen.
They are influenced by a satanic spirit. The expectations of men that are influenced by a different spirit are designed to sabotage the plan of God for your life. They're designed to sabotage the plan of God. They're designed to either keep you from making the sacrifice that's required of you, or on the flip side of that, they will demand things of you that God does not require. That God does not require.
Hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, you live life without that, thinking that it was the will of God or the plan of God was not for you to have that. And so you sacrificed it. I always tell my folk here at the church this. I say, you know, Mother Teresa was a great woman. You know, even though she might not have believed everything that we believe as far as the gospel is concerned and things like that, that woman did a lot of great things, a lot of good in her life.
Yeah.
Now, it was her choice to take a vow of poverty.
Right.
Anyone who gives their life to that degree, that woman could have been blessed.
Yes.
Because it's not the character of God. Come on now.
Yeah.
Read your Bible. It's not the character of God for you to give your life like that and him not bless you. Because Jesus even said that he says, no man has left houses and land and family and all this stuff who will not receive a hundredfold in this life. So it's not even the character of God.
Amen.
For someone to give their life, to sacrifice their life like that, and God not bless them. So it was her choice to take a vow of poverty.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if you want to take a vow of poverty, you know, anybody want to take a vow of poverty, go ahead. God bless you. I'm not doing it. Help yourself. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. You know, I got a lot invested, and that's not to think highly of myself, but, you know, you, Prophetess Valerie, a lot of listeners, we've got a lot invested. The years of process that we've gone through,
yes.
The years of sacrifice, the years of walking away and denying ourselves of things, you know, the years of carrying the cross of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. There comes a season where God says, I'm ready to bless you now because I got you in position now.
Amen. Amen.
I got you in position now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, we got to approach that season with the right mindset. Not that, you know, this is the way my life is supposed to be. No. I should have great expectation in this hour of my life.
Yes.
That I've gone through a process that was designed to get me in position to fulfill the original intent of God. Now God will bless me.
Yes, yes.
With the desires of my heart. Now he will pour out his riches upon me.
Amen.
Amen. Now some things will happen for me. Now I will have synergy to a degree that I haven't experienced synergy before.
Yes.
Now some things are going to work for me that never worked for me before.
Amen.
It was all about getting in position.
Amen.
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 I like
so,
when you were talking about that sacrifice, though, but we'll come back to that, because God was dealing with me about sacrifice on yesterday or the day before, about how, like you were saying, so many people talk about they have to sacrifice so much, but Jesus already did the sacrificing for us.
Amen.
And so there is no sacrifice in the kingdom. So if you're talking about how you always sacrificing, then you really are talking against God. And if you're talking against God, that conversation is sinful in nature.
Amen. Amen. You know, you got to really look at that. Make sure that this is not an expectation of people, of man.
Yes.
Somebody requires something of you that God does not even require.
Yes.
Amen. And a lot of that goes on. And unfortunately, people are going to live life, live throughout the course of their life without something.
Yes.
And put that on God, that it was not the plan of God for them to have that. Amen. And it's not the case at all. You bought into, you know, an expectation that was influenced by man or even the devil.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on Sunday I talked about how a lot of that stuff comes from the other tree that's in the garden.
Wow.
And we can't get into that tonight. But there were two trees in the garden, and there was one tree that he was not supposed to interact with.
Right.
All right. And so, you know, they interacted with something in that garden that was never and influenced them in a way. And they ended up sacrificing something that God always intended them to have.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
And so you got to be careful of that, because a lot of these things are coming to us, and they have a different influence. They're being influenced by a different spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Let's take a look now at the Gospel of Mark. And I want to kind of demonstrate here, through this particular account, how the will of God and the plan of God are going to merge or collide, and how they're going to actually work together. So in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 26 through 29. But keep in mind now, the will of God is what God requires of me. It's my contribution to the plan of God. Amen. It's what I need to invest in the plan of God. We want to talk about that tonight, time, if we have time. But the plan of God requires an investment from us. It requires us to make an investment in it. The investment that we make in the plan of God, a lot of times, is what's actually going to empower the plan of God to turn around and bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to see this. So in Mark chapter 4, we'll look at verse 26 through 29. And it says, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now, in this particular account here, the Bible talks about the man should scatter seed on the ground. So it was the will of God in this particular account. What God needed the man to do here was to scatter seed.
Yes.
Now, let's not get caught up in just focusing on, when somebody says scattering seed, you talk about giving money.
Money, right.
Scattering seed on the ground is an example of the will of God, but it represents letting go or releasing something into the plan of God. It represents letting go. When you scatter something, you're releasing it. And so it represents letting go or releasing something into the plan of God. So again, we are required to make an investment in the plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
Investing in the plan of God empowers the plan of God to bless us.
Yes.
Now, there's a couple other things I would like to point out when it pertains to the plan of God. Notice now, it says he did the will of God, he scattered the seed, that he slept by night and he rose by day, and that seed of what he did initiated something, but he wasn't necessarily seeing what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. You don't always see everything that's happening with the plan of God. This is why, you know, you got to do like it said in John, you just do the will of God. Just do it. Whatever he tells you, just do it. You don't always see how the plan of God evolves. But when you do the will of God, when you follow the instruction, it initiates something in the plan of God. It causes the plan of God to evolve. And so this thing is working even though he's not seen any results yet.
Wow.
Do not become perplexed or discouraged if you followed the instruction but yet you haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
Something is working.
Yeah, yeah.
Something is happening. Something is shifting. Something is changing. Amen. You don't see how Ecclesiastes used the analogy of the baby that grows in the womb of the woman. You don't see everything that's going on with the growth of the baby.
That's right.
You might sense some things changing. You might sense some things turning. All right. And you don't even know the sex of the baby unless they do, what is it called? They do the
ultrasound. Yes.
Ultrasound is symbolic of spiritual discernment.
Amen.
Ultrasound, spiritual discernment allows you to look inside and see.
Yes, yes.
Amen. But unless you discern, you don't see everything that's happening. You don't see everything that's going on when it comes to the plan of God. But notice that says, so he scattered the seeds, he slept by day, he slept by night, rose by day. The seed is working. He doesn't even know how. A lot of times we get caught up in trying to figure out how this thing is going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to know everything about the plan of God. It ain't necessary that you understand and know everything about the plan of God. You just need to know when your involvement is required, and you just need to do the will of God. That's what's expected of you.
Amen.
God is going to be God in your life if you let him.
Yes.
And that's a profound statement.
Yes. Yes.
God is going to be God. God's going to be God. God's going to do what God's going to do if you let him. And if you do your part, he'll do it even exceedingly, abundantly, even above all you dare. And it's going to faith.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, he will.
And so a lot of times we get stuck there trying to figure out how. That ain't necessary that you know everything. All right, verse 28, it says the earth yields crops, that the earth is designed to yield, to produce increase. It's designed. God has set this thing up. And once we get this revelation of synergy in our spirit, we're going to see how the earth will work with us. When you learn to master the will of God, there are things that you will be led to do that will initiate and cause the earth to move into position to help you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. So the other thing that you need to understand about that particular scripture is the fact that there's a process involved here. The plan of God is a process. That means that there are multiple steps, multiple phases within the plan of God. Everything is not going to happen at once.
Yes.
A lot of times we get stuck there. We're expecting everything, the whole plan to evolve and take place at one time. All right. Everything does not happen at once. All right. Sometimes there's multiple steps. Meaning that your involvement might be required multiple times, because look at the final verse here. It says, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in a sickle. Now here comes his involvement is required again.
Yeah.
The first time he had to scatter the seed. Now to bring it to pass, the fulfillment of it, he has to put in a sickle. All right? And so his involvement was required more than one time. So this kind of gives you a picture of how the will of God, the plan of God merges, or how they interact. So doing the will of God initiates the process of the plan of God. Scattering the seed on the ground, again, is the example of the will of God. All right? We are required to make an investment in the plan. Investing in the plan of God empowers the plan to bless us.
Amen.
When you look at the widow in 2 Kings 4, Prophetess Valerie, the widow borrows empty vessels.
Yes. Yes.
But she's also required to invest it all that she has.
Yes.
Amen. So you got to understand sometimes, many times, most times, God is going to require you to invest something. It might be the gift that you have. You got to invest that in a specific thing. The grace on your life, you need to plug it in somewhere. And this initiates the plan of God for your life to bless you. Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to run back quick at Mark 4:29, and it says, and when the grain is ripe. God said that also speaks to maturity, because you said how it takes different phases and at different times is going to require different things. But he's allowing you to mature.
Yes.
Because as a kid in Christ, you might move too fast. So you've got to go through some transitioning and some processing. So you'll understand when the ripeness comes.
That's right.
Able to move in that. Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Location, position, and timing.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're down to a minute, Prophet. Amen.
Amen. Well, bless God. I pray that this word has helped, you know, some people to, you know, expound on their understanding of the will of God. Perhaps in the weeks to come, we'll get an opportunity to go back and look again at some of the things concerning the plan of God and then even the purpose of God. I've done a whole book of study on this topic, and it's something that I'm going to be teaching on the third Sundays at OKIM. If anyone's in the local area and interested in coming to that training class on the third Sunday of each month, by all means, please come by. There's going to be a training class on the third Sunday here at Overcoming Kingdom Impact Ministries, and this is what I'm going to be teaching. I'm going to be teaching from this book that I did called The Will, The Plan, and The Purpose of God. So if anyone is in the local area, or if you're interested in traveling from the Richmond area, You can send me an email at WVLegacy. W as in water, V as in victory, legacy@gmail.com, and I'll give you directions on how to get here and the time of the service and all of that.
Amen. Be empowered, people, until next time.
Amen.